Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that shelters us, gives us strength and encouragement. Let the words of my mouth, meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord. I pray this in your Holy Son, Jesus' name. Amen. How about a thank you for the worship team? Okay. You know, I did this worship team for a lot of years. And it was always enjoyable, but it was always a little bit scary. It's kind of like I am right now. I'm a little bit enjoyable, but I'm also a little bit scary. As you know, the pastor is off on vacation, so you get the subs. All right? And I've been a sub on a lot of things. I've been a sub on football teams. I've been a sub on basketball teams, baseball teams, a lot of different team sports. And one thing that riding the pines has taught me is patience. Don't rush it. And that's what the Lord is telling me right now. Bill, don't rush it. Take your time. I am shameless in the fact that I will make announcements from up here. If that offends someone, then you can see me after the service. We have one of the best kept secrets on Orchard Mesa. And I got a chance last night to sample that best kept secret on Orchard Mesa. And I want to thank all the ladies, one in particular. I'm not going to point her out, but her lasagna last night was spot A number one on the mark. Okay? All right? So what I want you to do when you leave here, if we've got enough, if we don't have enough, then we'll run some copies. But give these out to your friends and tell them to come see The Chosen. But also tell them about the spaghetti. I call it the Italian supper. Tell them about coming here Saturday night and having the Italian supper. We had, I think, about 15 people. Thanks to our technician, Jim, had a great viewing. And FREE, you can't beat it. It's free. The other thing I would like to kind of verbalize is the fact that things are going on all over the world, and nothing is too big for our God. I don't know about your God, but my God is able to do whatever He wants to do, and He can do it, but He keeps things within a framework. As I prepared for this message, the Lord kept shouting to me, Bill, you got to have a purpose. You've got to have a purpose when you get up in front of the congregation. And it's got to adhere to the KISS principle. Anybody here know heard about the KISS principle? Yes, what is it? Ah, thank you, brother. That's why you will get your AM radio license. Yes, well, the other word for it is keep it simple, stupid. Don't make it too long. My purpose in this preachamony, that's a Bill made up word, is to encourage, motivate, and inspire each person here to read, to read, to read, and to reread God's Word. I will repeat that. To read, to read, to read and reread God's Word. The Holy Bible is a love letter. It's sending you a message. When you read it, it's sending you a message. I'm kind of a military guy. It's also a battle manual. It pinpoints exactly where the enemy's going to come from, and it pinpoints exactly what weapons we have available. And it tells us how to use it, How many of us in here were in the military? Just a show of hands. There are a few. Thank you. Thank you for your service. When you're talking about battle manual, you know what I mean. You read it, but it also is that environment, which is what you have here in church, that fosters that need, that want to explore God's Word. And God's Word helps us to form an even closer relationship with His Son. Now, my message today, if you read the bulletin, and if you don't have one, you can pick one up on the way out, and I would encourage you to do so, because in that bulletin, hopefully this doesn't fall over, in that bulletin, you'll find that my message is titled Words. Just words. Because in a lot of cases, to a non-believer, that's what this book is. It's just words. Well, I differ on that. I differ strongly on that. I will defend these words because these words actually help inspire these words. And I want to give you a back frame. If you can imagine yourself living in Europe back in the 1600s, and you were, in many ways, oppressed. How were you oppressed? Well, you were oppressed because literally what, at that time, you were being dictated, how you were to worship, who you were to worship, where you were to worship, etc. There's one word that comes out of that period of time. Freedom. What happened as people wanted freedom? They came to the Americas. They jumped on little tiny wooden boats, got sick as heck, floated across that water to get over to what we call now the United States. Out of that, 13 colonies were formed. They weren't perfect because there's nothing on this earth that is perfect. The only one that has been here that walked that perfect life was Jesus Christ. So words do make a difference. July 4th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was written. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with one another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they shall declare the cause which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator, God, added, with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Declaration of Independence. It rolled like a stone going downhill at 200 miles an hour. It rolled right into the Constitution of the United States of America. I'd like to read to you. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our future, our posterity, to ordain and establish the Constitution for these United States. There's one other document that was written. And if you can't believe, this is dear to my heart. If I start crying, You will know why. It was an executive order that has become known as the Emancipation Proclamation of September 22, 1862, issued by then President Abraham Lincoln. That in the first day of January, in the year of our Lord, 1863, all persons held as slaves with any state or designated part of a state, the people whereof shall then be in rebellion against the United States, shall be then thenceforth and forever free.
Amen.
Free. My ancestors, they were set free. These documents, no matter how profound, how high-sounding, how impactful they are, they don't hold a candle to the Word of God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. They don't hold a candle to the Word of God. Why? Because if you read John 1:1, keep it in your mind, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning. That meant before the United States, before Europe, before the Roman Empire, the Holy Roman Church, etc., there was God. His Word is transcendent. It is alive. It is never ending. It is love personified. But it is truth and justice wrapped up under control. I repeat, thank you, sir. Wrapped up under control. Some in here may not be in control. Why? Because we have to battle with sin. My message is now going to turn its attention to Matthew 3. Our Lord and Savior did what His Father commanded Him to do. And you can read about it in Matthew, you can read about it in Mark, you can read about it in Luke. But right before this event, Christ was baptized. The Father was there, the Holy Spirit was there, and the Son was there. But after that, and that was a holy moment, being an apostle and seeing that happen, to get to see the dove come down, to get to hear, to just be in the presence and know that you're in the presence of the God-man right there, right next to you, living, breathing, sweating. He was real. A lot of people, a lot of minds try to put that in a box and redefine it. Redefine it in ways that it was never meant to be. Those are the tactics. After his baptism, and here's where I have to go to my old Bible. It's kind of like a security blanket. I love it. It's getting tattered and torn, and it's marked up. And brothers, I'm telling you, I encourage you. The more you read that book, the more God and His Holy Spirit will direct you to put notes in it. And you say, well, Bill, I can't do that. That's the Holy Bible. Yes, it is. And if the Holy Spirit tells you that, put it on a piece of paper. Start journaling. Put it down. Put those things that are deep inside of your soul that you don't want to reveal to anybody, put it in paper. Put it down. Why? Because then it becomes important Then it becomes a document. A document that you can go back later and look to and say, well, hey, what did Christ do for me? What did the Holy Spirit do for me? Amen? Amen. Matthew. You know, Matthew was a tax collector. Boy, he was probably more hated than me at a Ku Klux Klan rally. Because Jews had no problem in telling you how they feel. I don't know if you've ever been around, but they have no problem. And people, whoever it is, they have no problem telling you how they feel. They just want to know that you're listening. Okay? If you're not listening, hey, they'll tune you out in a minute. Okay? It's like going in on a Bronco game, and Daddy's sitting there at the Bronco game, and he's doing this, and you're trying to talk to him. That's the same effect that you get. That look. Staring off into the wilderness. That's a heck of a segue. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. To be what? Why was Jesus led up into the wilderness? Come on, just speak it out. To be tempted. You know, temptation is nothing. I'll give you an illustration. All right? Let's say that I bring up here a fifth of Jack Daniels. And you'll say, Bill, boy, you really pushing the limits. Hey, that's what I do. Okay? I bring up a fifth of Jack Daniels, and I put it there. Okay? It is an inanimate object. It don't move. It don't talk. It just sits there. Until what? Until some human, possibly an animal, I don't think a cockroach could knock it over. Not the kind of Jack Daniels I used to drink. Not until a human picks it up. That's the way it is with temptation. You can set temptation right there until you do this. You're okay. It's when you do this that it says, gotcha. Guess what? In this temptation, that was the same tactic, because he was tempted by whom? Satan. Some translations will say devil, but we can say Satan. We can call him that, because Satan has no power here. He can be sitting right there and be as dumb as a post. He can be sitting over here. He can be standing right beside me, behind me, in front of me, whatever. He has no power. Why? He has been conquered. Okay? He has been conquered. When Jesus came out of that tomb, Brother Satan was doomed. I'll say it again. When Jesus came out of that tomb, Brother Satan was doomed. He is a defeated foe. He is not somebody that you bring home to meet your mama. He is somebody that you leave outside. You push him away. Why? Because you have a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ. And you say, well, how do I do that? You read the book. He was tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, always love this one little word. You kids use it all the time, and you adults do too. If I won the lottery, I would be in Maui. Okay? If I had made that right turn instead of the left, I wouldn't have done such. It's one of the biggest words in our vocabulary. Yet it is one of the smallest. And it's one that is most often used. Here comes the devil. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. What was the tempter working with? That's the question you should be asking yourself. What was the tempter working with at that point in time? The scripture is obvious. I'll answer the question for you. Hunger. Hunger comes in a lot of different fashions. It don't just necessarily come because your stomach is empty. Hunger can also be a thirst. A thirst can also be a desire. A desire can be temptation. You're all right till you do what? Close your hand around it, and it's got you. But if you can't see it that way, then the devil, the tempter, the temptation, it's already got a leg up on you. Did you hear me clearly? It's like going to an AA meeting. Until you realize that you got a problem, you can't overcome the problem through the help of the Holy Spirit until you realize that. Until you realize when you start doing this, you better start going back the other way. The tempter knew, because he's here. He's got his minions everywhere. He's not like God. God knows all, sees all. He's omni, which means everywhere. But he was going after Jesus because of a hunger. And Jesus was hungry. I don't know if you've ever been on a fast. I know one brother in here that fasts quite a bit. And fasting is good. Fasting for the purpose of getting closer to Jesus is the reason you fast. It should be the reason you fast. That way your prayers, when they go up, are not impeded by things. Anyway, the tempter was after Jesus, and he was coming at him because Jesus had gone into the desert and had been out there for 40 days. It's hard for my little pea brain to wrap my head around the fact that the Jesus, led by the Holy Spirit, and you say, well, Bill, why did the Holy Spirit lead Jesus out into the desert? That's a very good question. Here's my somewhat educated answer. God wanted to know. God wanted to know. God knew that he was going to go through fire. God knew that he was going to have to walk that walk up to the cross, carrying it. He was going to have to go through all of that. God wanted to know because he doesn't leave anything, no stone unturned. Not in your life, not in my life, not in anyone's life. He may turn it over and we do this. He'll turn it over and we'll do this. He'll turn it over and we'll do this. Well, there is no God. He turns it over and we do this. We say to ourselves in our smug arrogance, well, that's just for them Christians. Cool. It's all right. Why? Because every time they say no, he'll say, yes, I am. Yes, I am. Every time they say, well, you don't exist, he said, who is the great I am? Every time. You can see it in the war. Brother Putin thought he was going to roll in that puppy and just roll right, him and his tanks. Hey, we're just going to roll right on through. These Ukrainians ain't going to fight. Guess what? Oh, yes, they do. All right. Gets back to what this country was founded upon. But Satan wanted to go that way. How did Jesus respond? And if you don't, if you read the word, you got to love it. Here is something that Jesus has taught this old boy. Know the word, but use the word. Why? Because Jesus is a living example for us on how to respond to temptation, how to respond to people, how to respond to situations, how to respond to things that are so far above our heads, we can't even begin to try to lift them up. He can overcome addictions. He can overcome subtractions. He can do all things. And you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you, because he gives you in his word living examples. But if you don't read it, it has no effect on you. If you don't read it and believe it, it still has no effect on you. I have run into so many people that say, hey, I read, but I ain't getting nothing out of it. Why is that? I take them back and I say, well, do you know Christ? Do you really know? Have you committed your life to Christ? Have you allowed him and offered your life? Have you allowed him to come into your life? Not just fan some smoke around you, but really come into your life where you consciously say, Lord, I'm giving it up over to you. In a lot of cases, a lot of us, me included, had to be rock bottom before I came to that realization. And then I looked up, and my Savior was there. He's always there. Love what he says. And he answered and said, it is written. It is written. Words that are written, words that are written in heaven, that have come down to us in this book, are words of life. Not words to take life away from you. Not words to pin you in, but are words to make you safe. You can be in the worst situation in your life. You can be in the middle of a hurricane. You can be in the middle of a genocide. You can be in the middle of the worst hangover you've ever had, or the worst high that's gone bad, and he can cut through it. But you got to give your life to Christ. You've got to give your life to Christ. You can't keep walking this road like you've been walking it, because at some point in time, it's going to run out of road. It is written, Deuteronomy 8:3, man shall not live on bread alone, but on what? On every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know Satan's hard-headed. You got anybody in your family that's hard-headed? Janice, you got anybody in your family that's hard-headed? Okay. I got a hard head. A lot of cases I don't like to take no for an answer. A lot of cases I take the no's too quick. Sometimes I even say the yeses too quick. But the devil's hard-headed. I read you three things. The devil tempted Christ thrice. Old English for three. He came at him three times. And it's hard to imagine, but all of hell was with him. You say, well, Bill, it don't say that. It don't say that. Well, where you can see it is you go back and where Jesus was casting out demons and demon. But most cases, it's demons with an S. That was what he was facing in a hungry state of affairs. But Satan is slick. Boy, I tell you what. You talking about somebody can run a game? I mean, he can run a game where he can sell ice to Eskimos, coconuts to a Hawaiian. All right, make anybody believe anything. But he's coming at him, and this time he's coming at him from an emotional perspective. Get this. Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. Took him up. They were down on the desert floor somewhere. This time they have transitioned. Okay? And this is God. He's up there with him. And he said, he don't give up. And he said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. Satan will twist even the Bible. If you don't know your Bible, and you get somebody coming at you from a interesting and different some of these perspectives, sometimes you don't know what's right. That's where the church steps in. If it sounds too good to be true, you might want to say, well, let me ask my pastor, let me ask an elder, let me ask one of the older heads that's been around here for a while, see what they think about this. But Satan was trying to get Jesus to doubt or question whether his father would protect him. He's hitting him on an emotional level. He's gone from the physical, then tried his belly, and all that's associated with that. Now he's going after something else. He doesn't give up. That's the enemy that you face. You've got to have somebody that is stronger than the enemy that you face. Let's be real. Okay? When you're out there by yourself, I don't know how many of you have ever seen the movie The Gladiator. Okay? Great movie. Love it. It's probably too gory for young kids and some folks, but in that movie, there's a scene that takes place. It shows where all the gladiators are gathered around. And all of these chariots starts popping up like mushrooms, coming at them, shooting them arrows, got them spears, got them things coming out the side of the wheels, slice you up, slice, dice, you're gone. What you notice about that is that those that were trained, I love it. Those that were trained came together. Okay? You also see all these little figures sitting out here by themselves. And the enemy looks at that and smiles because he knows they aren't trained. They have no way of being able to fend him off because he's relentless. Just like them ladies and men on those chariots coming at him, bearing down, deer in the headlights, blood everywhere. But those that were trained came together because they heeded the command. Maximus gave a command. They knew that sound because they've been trained in it. They've been honed in it. They knew that what he was saying was the truth. Are you that way? When you hear the truth being presented to you, do you come together? That's what this church is all about. When you hear the truth, you come together, whether it's in a small group, whether it's in your home, and I pray that it's in your home. Train yourself. He finished that off. This is the devil. On their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. I think at that point, Jesus just looked at him. I don't think he smiled. I think he just looked at him. Because the way it's phrased here in the Bible, it just says, Jesus said to him, on the other hand, because he's telling him, what you're telling me and how you're looking at it is wrong. It's wrong. And we run into it today where people will say, well, you got to do this before you do this. You got to have this before you get to here. Okay? You tell them, it's wrong because Christ said, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And he looked at him. How many of us can do that? Did you know, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you can do that? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater. Not lesser. Not equal to. But greater than anything. The last temptation. Again, the devil took him. He's hard-headed. Got to give him credit. He's hardy. Don't give up. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory and said to him, all these things I give you if you fall down and worship me. We're getting close to the end. Why? Because Jesus said to him, go, Satan. What do you think Satan looked like when he said that? Think about it for a minute. This is God in a heck of a situation. Man, he's been here 40 days, here, da-da-da-da-da-da. All hell is against him. And he's quoted Scripture. He didn't give him a dissertation on how molecules come together. He didn't give you a dissertation on why the weather is doing what it's doing, or why you got to have wind power, etc. So he didn't go into all that. Keep it simple. He quoted Scripture. He knew what his daddy had told him, and he believed it. He walked it. He talked it. It was all through him. Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall not worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then what did the devil do? He got in the wind. That's down-home talk for he put his foot in that big road and started marching somewhere else. Then the devil left him. And behold, angels came and began to minister to him. That's what you have to look forward to. Yeah, you're going to have tests. In this world, you will have trouble. You can't get around it. You can try to outthink it. You can try to outfigure it. You can do everything you want. But it's going to come at you from somewhere. Because if he can't get to you, he'll get to someone close to you. If he can't get to someone close to you, he'll get someone close to that person to get to this person to get to this person. He'll go all the way around Mills Pond to get at you. And a lot of times you can't see it coming. You don't know what's happening. He said, Lord, what's going on? What do we do? It is written. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. I want to end this by saying this to you, ladies and gentlemen, fellow believers, fellow non-believers. If you are a non-believer, we offer a time where you can come up. We'll pray with you. You ask the Holy Spirit into your life. Christ comes into your life. Will things change immediately? They can. A lot of cases, you got to put your foot in the water. You got to start moving. You just got to start moving closer, because He will find you if you're seeking Him. If you haven't been seeking Him, now's the time to do it. I want to close this because when I got saved out in Fruta, Colorado, back in 1980, my pastor, Ron McMurphy, said, Bill, eventually, after many years, and he was talking about hopefully many years that he would be discipling me, which he did for many, many years. Very faithful man and others. He said, Bill, eventually one day you will be like this. And I looked at that man and I thought he was an absolute nut. He said, Bill, eventually you will start looking at life through the lens of the Bible. Jesus saw life through the lens of His daddy's word. He lived that life through the lens of His daddy's word. Each of us that are in my reach of my voice has that opportunity, if you've never done it, to start that walk. It is a wonderful walk. It is absolutely miraculous. It will lead you and it will guide you. It will motivate you. It will encourage you. When the crap hits the fan and the peanut butter is all over you, and you're sitting there saying, boy, where did this come from? You will have peace in your heart because of who is in you. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And that is the Holy Spirit, which came from the Father through the Son to us. Fellow believers, leave here and bless someone else. Tell somebody else about what Jesus did for you. Nobody, not even the devil himself, can take your testimony for Jesus Christ away from you. I don't care how old you are, whether you're 10, whether you're 11, whether you're 8, whatever. Once you let Jesus and the Holy Spirit into your life, things will happen, some good, some bad, but in most cases, it'll be good, and Christ will be there for you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk with you this morning. And I'd like to pray us out of here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you've given us today through your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for each and every person here. Let your words sink deep into their minds, their hearts, and to flesh out in action. I pray that they will be better leaving here so that they can come again and feast upon your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.